Praise the Lord. This is Pastor Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible here. We're in the book of Acts, chapter 24, with 27 verses. Translation, and today, the only commentary I have is what I'll be doing should the Lord pour out His Spirit for me to make commentary. And also, we have part 17 of Spiritual Warfare. We have a couple of letters. I believe one is from Texas, the other one from Africa. Let's go to the throne now and ask the Lord to anoint this service. Father, anoint outwardly this service. Lord, you stated that in your word it tells how Jesus was baptized and the Holy Spirit came down upon him as he was as he came up out of the water after being dunked in the water, and then he rose up out of the water, which is symbolic of his death to the world, and also that he would be dying on the cross, also that he was buried, and that he resurrected in the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit came down from the kingdom of God in the shape of a dove and came down upon him and baptize him with the Holy Spirit. We ask for that same Spirit, Lord, as I was baptized with years ago, that it anoint his service, that it may cause all the hearers to grow inwardly, where the inward anointing is, where the growth of the fullness of the stature of Christ is. Now, this fullness of the stature of Christ, Father, I know, cannot be fully grown at all until the people that are filled with the Spirit inwardly are in the church life, in the experiencing the body life, that they're in church and that they're fellowshipping, and that they are risen from this worldly life to the spiritual life, to where they are in love, reading with the brothers, and the brothers reading with each other, and the sisters reading with each other, and also instructing the newborn Christians to go into the prayer room and seek with them the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and to take time out of every day to pray, and to take time out of every day to read the scriptures one to another, and to pray with each other, and also pray in the closet, and to read by yourself as well, and witness and testify and edify the church. This is what the church life is all about, and this is what the risen life is all about, being risen from the dead, being dead with Christ, being buried with Christ, and being resurrected with Christ. The Bible clearly tells us almost in every gospel it tells us that we are to be dead with Christ, to be buried with Christ, and to be risen with him. And that the Bible tells us that Christ was killed, he died, was buried, and resurrected. And this is the meaning of the gospel. Last night in the services, I asked everyone in the church to tell me what does the gospel mean. And not one of the people, even some of them have been there 35, 36 years, could tell me. So I did an entire message on what the gospel is, what that means. And probably some of you that are hearing this tape don't know what it means. It's amazing in my church where people have been hearing the word and hearing the gospel for so many years that they didn't know what it was. And I guess they just get so involved in the teaching of the meat of the Word of God that they forget the basic fundamentals, the foundation. I want to remind you, if you take the foundation away from a building, the building's going to collapse. And if you forget the foundation of the gospel, well, you're going to collapse. We must be dead with Christ. Otherwise, we are not able to resurrect. We must be buried with Christ. Christ was buried in an earthly tomb. Right in the heart of the earth, he went to hell. And then he resurrected from, came out of hell and then rose from the dead, the resurrection. So he died, was buried, and rose from the dead. Now Muhammad, Buddha, and all the other different false prophets, they died and were buried, but they never rose from the dead. And they never ascended before 500 people into the kingdom of heaven and sat on the right hand of the Father. And they never, they could not, because they're dead corpses, and their stinking bones and flesh rotted in the grave, and all the other false prophets, and that's where they lie today. But the Lord rose from the dead and was seen by many people and all of his disciples, and many people from the graveyard rose from the dead at the same time. So the gospel, in other words, gospel means good news, that we have a Savior that died, was buried, and unlike all others, he resurrected from the dead. That's the good news, because if we're into his work, if we're into his word, if we're doing what he says, if we also are dead to the world, dead to sin, and we're buried, we are not buried in tombs, our life is not buried in tombs, but we're buried in a liquid grave, which is symbolic of the water baptism, signifying that we also are buried with Christ. And then when we come up out of the liquid grave, we are resurrected from the dead life of the worldly life, our worldly desires, and that we're now walking in newness of life. We have a new life, and because the Spirit of God, who is now Jesus, who has always been Jesus, but he was living in a human being called Jesus, he is the Son, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now he sends the quickening Spirit unto all those that love God with all their heart, and now he enters into us and resurrects us from the dead. He gives us the life-giving Spirit. Jesus said that we do more than he did, in so much as he was confined. The Spirit of the Father was only in one human body named Jesus at that time. But now, when Jesus rose from the dead, he died, was buried, and rose from the dead, he ascended also up into the kingdom of heaven, and now is able to send the quickening Spirit, or the life-giving Spirit he gives to hundreds of millions of people that really love him with all their heart and want to serve him. And now, that's how more Jesus is able to live in hundreds of millions of people. And is not confined to one spot or wherever just this one body goes, but now he's living in hundreds of millions of bodies. So this is the good news, is that Christ is risen and is able to give his eternal, immortal, permanent life to hundreds of millions of others, or whosoever will believe. So, Father, we ask that you make this clear to people, that the gospel, the good news, is that you died, you were buried, and you resurrected. You're not like Buddha or Muhammad or the popes or any other false prophet, but that you live. You were dead at one time, but you rose from the dead, and you're alive forevermore. This is what you say in the book of Revelation. And I know that you're alive because you showed yourself to me with my eyes wide open in a vision, and I know several other people that have seen you as well. The Apostle Paul saw you on the road to Damascus and spoke with him. And so I just know in the ministry I've met many people that have seen you as well, not just myself. So, Lord, I ask that you make these things clear. Everybody now should know what the gospel, the good news is that we, because Christ died, buried, and was resurrected, that now if we're in him, we can die out to the world, be buried with him in the liquid grave, and have his permanent life resurrecting us from this temporary life that we have, the temporary spirit of life that we have in us. And he mingles his permanent life-giving Spirit into our temporary spirit, giving it permanent everlasting life if we continue on in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And so now you all know what the gospel, the good news is. That's good news, that this isn't all there is. That because of the Lord's permanent, eternal Spirit entering us, we now have permanent, eternal life. And that when this is all over, if we, by the power of the Spirit of the Lord in us, are able to keep all the commandments and we don't weaken, in our patience we possess our souls to the very end, we continue on in Christ to the end, we have immortal, permanent, everlasting life. And therefore, Lord, we pray that everyone will realize this and visualize, if they could. We tell you, we know that the Word of God says that no one can see God and live. That's why we must die out to this world, be buried with Christ and resurrected into the newness of life, so that we can see eye to eye with God Almighty, and that He should appear to us in the visions, right before my very eyes while I was wide awake. So we can see God as long as we're dead to this world and dead to our flesh, that we don't let our flesh impulsively lead us around with every whim or with every false doctrine that comes along, but that we believe and receive the Word of God. Because when we do that, we're receiving Jesus. Jesus, because Jesus said that He's the way, the truth of God, the Word. The whole Word of God is Jesus. It mentions it in the first chapter of John and also in the book of Revelation. His name is the Word of God. So believe on the Word of God, or believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And not only that, you'll have power, that's new life, and it's permanent, and you go on into the kingdom of heaven. And the Lord, if you do what He says, if you live the life Jesus did by His Spirit in you, then what? Well, then you have everlasting life, and you totally escape the lake of fire, which is full of torments, all manner of torments, too vast to even talk about. So Lord, we ask that everything that I say on this tape comes, right, we pray that everything that's done on this tape is directed from heaven, and that souls will be saved, and that you'll open up every mind, heart, soul, and spirit to receive the added life that you died for us to be able to and resurrected for us to be able to have, and that we have the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to receive it and continue receiving it on a daily basis, one day at a time. That's all we need to worry about, because none of us know if we're going to be here tomorrow anyway. Some people think, oh, I'm so young and I've got such a long life. You have no idea how long you're going to live. The guarantee is not that you're going to live for a long life, but the guarantee is that you're going to die. That's guaranteed. That's a guarantee. Everyone has to die, and everyone has to face God, whether they like it or not. And so it's best to do what the Lord says. So Father, let them do that, and let them receive it in Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, so, boy, I mean, that was like a commentary in itself. I didn't have any written commentary today, but that's a commentary in itself. That's a meal in itself. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, now who's the first letter from here?
From Big Spring, Texas.
Big Spring, okay.
Dear Pastor Tony Alamo, with all the due respect you deserve, I address this letter to you, and with it I send you respectful greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to thank you for sending me the Messiah book and the world newsletters. All this treasure was sent to me along with your testimony. My name is Saul. I have been saved for 3 years. No one in my family knows the real reason why we exist here on this earth, or knows how to have a personal relationship with Jesus. I have 3 daughters. One is a Jehovah's Witness.
Oh, that's one of the worst Okay, but go ahead.
Another one is in the Catholic religion, which
is... That's one of the worst, yes. What else?
Which I was a part of. And my other daughter is in America, but she does not believe in anything. I am imprisoned in Big Spring, Texas, in a federal prison.
She doesn't believe in anything because there's so few people that are carrying the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. People, in order for them to be saved, somebody has to be sent, a preacher, a teacher, a pastor, prophets to them. And if they hear it and then don't pay any attention to it, well, then they are cursed unto the very end. Then what?
Here is where the Lord allowed me to get in my hands one of your newsletters, and I was able to discern by the Spirit that your literature is written in the Spirit, and the truth is spoken by you as to how a true Christian should be. I really liked that a lot.
Not only should be, but must be. Okay, and then what else?
I have shared your literature with Christians and Gentiles, and it has had an impact on them to desire the things of God.
This man knows that a Christian is a spiritual Jew, and all those that don't believe are Gentiles, which in the Hebrew means dogs. So you have to choose to be a spiritual Israelite or a dog. What choice do you make?
Spiritual Israelite.
Yeah, you don't want to be a dog anymore, huh? Okay, great. She goes, uh-uh. What else?
I therefore let others read them and then get them back from them again. Is that okay? The reason I do this is because I send them to my daughters also, so there can be an impact in their lives.
Right, you could give us the address of all your loved ones, and we'll just send them copies without you having to send your copy away. Or if there are people in prison there that want to have the literature sent to them, just give us their number there and the whatever cell block they're in, and we'll get that to them. We'll send everybody the same literature that you're getting. All right, then what?
I hope God will continue to bless you so you can help millions of more souls and bring them out of darkness.
I pray that too, brother. Then what else?
Please include me in your mailing list so I can continue to receive more of your literature and grow more spiritually. Thank you so much, your brother in Christ, S.G. from Big Spring, Texas.
Praise the Lord, brother. We're with you 100%. We're going to do just what you said. Okay, then what?
The next letter's from Lomé, Togo, Africa. Dear Reverend Alamo, Calvary greetings to you in the worthy name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's the first time that one of your newsletters came in my hands, and I am praising God for that. Wonderful! Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. As soon as I read it, I found very important and powerful teachings that changed my life and pastoral ministry. I am Antiso D.K., pastor of Grace Baptist Church here in Lomé, Togo, West Africa. We have church planting ministries, and we planted 5 churches in village areas. Because I have a heart for children, we built a strong children's ministry by leading them to Jesus and assisting them in any way we can, by giving them food, clothes, medicine, Bibles, and New Testaments. As I know your ministry, I want you to help me doing this ministry effectively by sharing with me your powerful teachings, books, and cassettes, and those materials which can help me teach well all the churches and train pastors too. I also have had the need of Bibles. I need 65 French Bibles now for the ministry. I was happy and touched to see people around the world involving in this ministry to share bulletins and teachings with others. I want to be a part of them by sharing the bulletins, so you can send me some more for distribution. Please send all the materials in French I can read, and English too. I would like to ask finally to be one of your associate pastors and work under your instruction. Hoping to hear back from you, dear Pastor Alamo, may the anointing of Jesus be with you in your ministry and make you able to assist us for the glory of the Lord. Sincerely yours, Pastor A.D.K. from Lomé, Togo, Africa.
Well, praise the Lord. We'd love to have you be associate pastors, but it's just a sad thing, you know, that a lot of the Baptist churches don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they don't believe in miracles, and they believe once saved, always saved. But I'm so happy to hear some of these Baptist ministers, pastors, receiving the truths of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, miracles, and also they're shaking that doctrine, once saved, always saved, because it's right out of the pit of hell. And, it'd be great if you wouldn't even call yourself a Baptist anymore, because so many people know the truth now that they think, oh, Baptist, I'm not going to that church anymore. So my suggestion would be, you don't have to do it, but is to become non-denominational so that people will be curious and come and take a look at what you're doing, and they'll be praising and thanking the Lord if you're full gospel, as we are. All right, so, well, those were very fine letters, and I really appreciate it. And make sure, I want to make sure that all of these people get exactly what they ask for, even more. Now, let's begin now with chapter 24 of the book of Acts. Go ahead.
Acts chapter 24, verse 1. And after 5 days, Ananias the high priest descended with the elders and with a certain orator named Tertullus, who informed the governor against Paul. Verse 2. And when he was called forth, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, Seeing that by thee we enjoy great quietness, and that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by this province.
Verse 3. Well, let's go into verse 1 of the translation. We'll just continue on because even though it's just a short service, I still think that we do it that way.
The Apostle Paul appears before Felix. Verse 1. 5 days later, Ananias the high priest arrived with some of the Jewish leaders and lawyers, Tertullus, to press charges against Paul. Verse 2. When Paul was called in, Tertullus laid charges against Paul in the following address to the governor. Quote, Your Excellency, you have given peace to us Jews and have enacted reforms for us. Verse 3. And for all of this, we are very grateful to you. Verse 4. But lest I bore you, kindly give me your attention for only a moment as I briefly outline our case against this man. Verse 5. For we have found him to be a troublemaker, a man who is constantly inciting the Jews throughout the world to riots and rebellions against the Roman government. He is a ringleader of the sect known as the Nazarenes. Verse 6. Moreover, he was trying to defile the temple when we arrested him. Verse 7. But the chief captain Lysias came upon us, and with great violence took him away out of our hands. Verse 8, commanding his accusers to come unto thee. You can find out the truth of our accusations by examining him yourself, unquote. Verse 9, then the other Jews chimed in, declaring that everything Tertullus said was true. Verse 10, now it was Paul's turn. The governor motioned for him to rise and speak. Paul said, quote, I know, sir, that you have been a judge of Jewish affairs for many years, and this gives me confidence as I make my defense. Verse 11. You can quickly discover that it was no more than 12 days ago that I arrived in Jerusalem to worship at the temple. Verse 12. I didn't argue with anyone in the temple, nor did I incite a riot in any synagogue or the streets of the city. Verse 13. These men certainly cannot prove the things that they accuse me of doing. Verse 14. But I admit that I follow the way which they call a sect. I worship the God of our ancestors, and I firmly believe in the Jewish law and everything written in the books of the prophecy.
You notice that Paul isn't saying anything about the world or anything. He's just talking about how that he used to be a scoundrel, and later on you'll hear him say that, and that he's totally dead to the world. He's buried with Christ, and also he's resurrected. Because he's very concerned about witnessing to this man. Now, to know that the gospel or the good news is being dead and buried and resurrected is one thing, but to really be dead, buried, and resurrected is another thing. Because people are not going to be saved by the knowledge of what must be done in order to be saved. So many people today are so interested in filling their mind and their soul full of knowledge, but they don't pay any attention to living the life. So knowing to be dead, buried, resurrected is one thing, but being, actually being dead to this world. Just see how many people that profess themselves to be born-again Christians are dead to this world and buried with Christ in baptism. And resurrected, and are that's all they're worried about, is how they're witnessing and testifying to all the different Felixes of the world. Okay, because I have to be in service or on tape or both every day, and so I really have to know the gospel. I can't have anything to do with the world. I mean, there's so many different temptations that come my way because of the fact that I was known as the number one promoter in the world, that if you wanted to sell product, I can do it. And I get hit with all sorts of things. And I have tapes from my past. I've got a Beatles album that's worth, I've been told, hundreds of millions of dollars. I was just mastering some of our tapes over at Christian tapes over at Capitol Records the other day here in Hollywood at the Tower. And then in those tapes I found some of the old interviews with Pete Best of the Beatles and some of the other things. But I thought to myself, well, I don't see how, because I'm so full-time into the ministry, even if I wanted to, how I could sell any of that stuff or to be involved in selling it whatsoever. And I was just laughing with the Lord on that, you know, and saying, man, Father, I'm really in the ministry full time. I can't partake of that. Then I've got all these different big band sounds and things like that that I own. It's probably about 56 or 60 some different full orchestra things and interviews with Pete Best and Pete Best of the Beatles and some of the other singers that I have. I've got just mountains of tapes. And like, we've had to live a pretty Spartan type life here on earth after I got saved. Didn't have a lot of money, and the Internal Revenue Service stated that we made millions and all this sort of thing, and that never really happened for the first few years that we were just able to buy some cornbread and beans to feed everybody, and once in a while we'd have a turkey or something like that, or several turkeys on Thanksgiving, and we'd have to go and we'd get donations and things like that. And yet, the government has taxed us with that. They said we made so much money that they got a $10 million tariff, and they're still holding that against us and everything. And during those years, and that's absolutely false. And even we were just living from hand to mouth, day to day. But and I've had all those masters, and I could have sold them, but because the fact that the Beatles were saying that they were bigger than God, and I was not about to exalt them in any way, because I'm not of this world. People have idols in this world, and American Idol, they've got all these things where you can just idolize all these people. But I know what people are. I've been in the world quite a while, and I know what God is. And people are not worth promoting. God is, though. And so I've chosen to serve the Lord, and anyone that I find that doesn't want to serve the Lord, I don't have anything to do with them. And I'm, it's because the Lord tells me to be separate and holy. I'll witness to them, but if I see they don't want to serve the Lord, I don't even want to talk to them anymore. That's just the way I am. I'm an exclusive type of a guy. I'm exclusive for the Lord. And people that don't want to be like that, well, then we have nothing in common. Okay, like Jesus, when a man, he says, okay, sell what you have and give it to the Lord, give it to God, and come and follow me. And the man was sad because he had a lot of things, and Jesus never ran after him. He says, come. Get up. That's the way it is. But now the man's been dead for probably around close to 2,000 years. And he's in hell and in the lake of fire. Because when you blink your eyes, you're dead. You know it's already time is over with and you're there. Because when you're dead, you know the dead know nothing, the Bible says. And so those in the world that are not yet brought to life, resurrected into the new life, they don't know anything. Because they're dead in their sins and trespasses, and they don't know anything of any value, because only that which lives eternal, only that which is going to live permanently in heaven is of any value. The rest, the Bible says, the Word of God says, Jesus says, is like chaff to be burnt. And it never stops burning. That's the problem with it. Okay, then what?
Verse 15. I have hope in God, just as these men do, that we will rise, both the righteous and the ungodly. Verse 16. Because of this, I always try to maintain a clear conscience before God and everyone else.
Yeah, in other words, I don't sin, because if I did, my conscience would be pointing its finger at me saying, you're a sinner and you're going to hell. I want to go to heaven, and I don't want to have an evil conscience of that I'm lusting after anybody with my brain or my mind or my heart is lusting after anyone that I'm not supposed to be lusting after. I'm not lying. I'm not stealing. I'm not doing anything like that, because I want to keep a clear conscience before God. I don't want to stand in front of him with a guilty conscience. I won't be able to look at him. And I know he's going to tell me to depart and go to hell. Okay, that's just the way it is. And people look sad and say, don't you feel sorry for me? Not at all. If you don't feel sorry for yourself, then why should I? Okay, I can't. I have to go after people that want to serve the Lord, not the people that say they want to go to heaven, but they just can't. They're weak. Yes, we're all weak, but the Spirit of the Lord is strong. And so if you have the Spirit of the Lord in you, the permanent Spirit and the powerful resurrection Spirit of the Lord in you, you have nothing to worry about. Keep the Spirit in you every day by reading the Word and praying. Okay, then what?
Verse 17. And after several years away, I returned to Jerusalem with money to aid my people and to offer sacrifices to God. Verse 18. My accusers saw me in the temple as I was completing a purification ritual. There was no crowd around me and no rioting. Verse 19. But some Jews from the province of Asia were there. And they ought to be here to bring charges if they have anything against me! Exclamation point. Verse 20. Ask these men here what wrongdoing the Jewish High Council found in me. Verse 21. Except for one thing I said when I shouted out, quote, I am on trial before you today because I believe in the resurrection of the dead! Exclamation point. Unquote. Verse 22.
Yeah, without the resurrection, that's the good news. That's the gospel, is that Christ is risen. And if we're in him, we will also rise from the dead as well. That's what the whole gospel is about, is that we're buried with Christ so that we can be resurrected from the dead, and that we sin no more. Once a person is dead and buried, they can't sin anymore. And so we are then resurrected from death unto life into the spiritual realm, where there's power to not sin any longer. And if that's taken place in you, then you can honestly say that I believe in the resurrection. If you don't believe in the resurrection, then you don't have any good news to tell anybody. That's what the good news is that all the other false prophets cannot say that they resurrected or that they can bestow immortal, eternal life on their followers. Only Jesus can do that, and only Jesus has said that, and only Jesus has shown himself in his passion to be alive and well, and is then showed himself to many others as he rose from the dead, as he also ascended into the kingdom of heaven before over 500 people. They all had the same story to tell. We all saw him resurrect or ascend into heaven, where he now sits and is very willing to send his Spirit into you, the whole Spirit of God, the fullness of the Godhead bodily into you if you request it, if you ask him, and if you really love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Just as Philip told the eunuch, he said he'll send his Spirit right into you now, and you'll have everlasting, permanent life. Okay, then what?
Verse 22. Felix, who was quite familiar with the way, adjourned the hearing and said, quote, wait until Lysias, the governor the garrison commander, arrives. Then I will decide the case, unquote. Verse 23. He ordered an officer to keep Paul in custody, but to give him some freedom and allow his friends to visit him and take care of his needs. Verse 24. A few days later, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, sending for Paul. They listened as he told them about faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 25. As he reasoned with them about righteousness and self-control and the judgment to come, Felix was terrified. Quote, go away for now, unquote, he replied. Quote, when it is more convenient, I'll call for you again, unquote. Verse 26. He also hoped that Paul would bribe him, so he sent for him quite often and talked with him.
Yeah, Paul would say, hey, how much would it cost to get out of here? No. That's what he was waiting for him to do, is bribe him. A couple of thousand. okay, here you go. And then open the door and let him out. Right?
Right.
We know people that take bribes today. Okay, then what?
Verse 27. 2 years went by in this way. Then Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus, and because Felix wanted to gain favor with the Jewish leaders, he left Paul in prison.
Okay, now that was chapter 24 with his 27 verses and translation, and we've heard a lot of commentary all throughout that. Now it's Spiritual Warfare, part 17.
Fighting prayer is also spiritual warfare.
The fighting kind of prayer, okay? Father, you see all these things that are happening. Like right now, in a town where one of our churches are, they're making up all kinds of stories. They're saying that we have tunnels again. This happened, God, around 25, 30 years ago, that they said we had tunnels and all this sort of stuff. Lord, we pray that you'll stop their mouths in the name of Jesus. And it was around the 4th of July, and people are saying all kinds of stuff, that we don't allow any firecrackers or anything like that. And people just saying all kinds of false things because the churches in the area are jealous that they're seeing us flourishing and that they see us putting up having more souls than they do. And I'm not in any competition. I don't even know anything about these people. But, Father, stop their mouths and do something, O Lord God. Thy will be done. I know that it's not your will that they're doing these things, Father. This is fighting prayers. Amen?
Amen.
Lord, we ask it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Everybody agree with me and the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord. It's so good to be a Christian. The Lord wants us to declare spiritual warfare on these demonic people. On the devil himself. And so, Lord, we ask that you do it. And we know whatsoever we bind here on earth is bound in heaven. Bind the devil here on earth, Lord, and bind him in heaven and from heaven. In Jesus' mighty, almighty name. Praise God. Okay, then what?
Another principle of spiritual warfare is to have prayers that are fighting prayers.
Amen. Do you hear me just fighting? I mean, see, God does the fighting. There's things that are so far out of our hands that we can't. I look at all the starving people in the world and everything and say, God, Father, how in the world can we feed all these people? Look, I feel sorry for them. You know my heart. But if you're cursing them because of the fact they're worshiping Buddha or Muhammad or all these people, there's so many people in Africa and India, they're worshiping cows and things like that. Lord, just bring it to their mind or let them read the literature so that they know not to do these things. And if they stop worshiping these false images and the creation rather than the creator, and if they stop worshiping Buddha and Muhammad and all this Hinduism stuff and everything else and Catholicism, you'll bless them, Father, just like you do us. And Lord, show that to them so that they don't have to be cursed any longer. Lord God, this is fighting prayer. We pray. Request number two on this tape. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Hallelujah. God doesn't want to see him suffering, but he's stated in his word that he would cause famine, pestilence, which is every kind of disease on the face of this earth, if people did not want to worship him, to serve him, and that he can't go back on his word, and that's what's happening. People have got all kinds of diseases. You see people even in our church, you know, you can tell that they're really not serving the Lord, but they say with their lips that they want to. Then finally when they make a wrong move, and that shows without a shadow of doubt that they don't want to serve the Lord, that they're just using the Lord's church, well then, you know, and they do something so atrocious, it would be such a bad testimony to the others in the church if they were not compelled to leave. Okay, and then go ahead.
After the apostle mentioned the various kinds of spiritual weapons in Ephesians chapter 6, he very pointedly said, quote, praying at every time, praying all the time in the spirit, Greek. In spiritual warfare, it is...
That's the Greek translation of pray without ceasing, okay? And what else?
In spiritual warfare, it is not possible to neglect prayer. for spiritual warfare largely depends on our prayers to the Lord.
Right. If you've got, if you're serving the Lord with all your heart and you need have financial needs, and you're really serving and you're really dead and buried with Christ and resurrected in Him, and you really are trying to win souls and you have a need, pray to God, because you're not going to get it any other way. You've got to send prayers up to the Lord and communicate to Him. And if you're wondering what to do, pray for spiritual guidance from the Holy Spirit. That's what He says He wants to do for you. But if you don't believe that, then you don't believe. And those that believe shall be saved, and those that doubt shall be damned. So, if you know, hurry up and believe. Amen?
Amen.
You get more belief by reading more and more. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word. So you already have been given the portion of faith. But now you got to read the Word of God so you can tell the things that the Lord has already provided for you. And then so that you can have the faith to receive them. If you don't know what's available for you, I know that I need groceries, but I have to go to the grocery store to see what they got, right? Well, you know that you need things in this life, but you've got to go to the Lord, the Word, and open it up to see what He's provided for you. Amen?
Amen.
So when you do that, then after you see what He's provided, you say, Lord, give it to me now, and I believe that I have it because You've already provided it. And then when you do that, well, then you have it already, the Bible. Jesus promises that. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, go ahead.
We need to hear from Him, and He needs to hear from us. The thing that Satan fears the most is all of us, those of us that are saints, to be on our knees before God, or the prayer of the church before God, the whole church. That's what Satan fears most.
Yeah, because the whole church is the body of Christ. You cannot be part of the fullness of the stature of Christ unless you're in the church, in the body. Because that's what the fullness of the stature of Christ means, that everybody's in the body, all on their knees, praying to God, or at least... You know, you really don't have to be on your knees. You can be sitting down and be praying to the Lord. Some people like to pray. The Jewish people stand up while they're praying. But just so you're praying and getting up to the throne of the living God, that's where it's at. Because you get up there and God can do more for you once He answers, He says yes. It would take you millions of years to get accomplished. But it only takes the Lord 1 second to completely annihilate the whole world. It takes Him one flash of a second to raise everybody from the dead, and He's going to do it. It takes one flash of a second to send people, bring people up to heaven and send the chaff, the bad ones, down to hell in the lake of fire. And the Lord just does it with the Word. He says, let there be light, and man, there was light everywhere. And He just says something. He speaks everything into being. Okay, so it's easy. If you speak to Him and get Him and ask Him to speak your environment into a different situation, or your situation into a good situation, your bad situation into a good situation, He can do it in one flash of a second. And He will, if you really believe Him. Okay, then what?
But
you've got to pray, fighting prayers. Amen? That's spiritual warfare. That's another aspect of it. Then what?
Because when God answers our prayers, everything that Satan has done and wants to do is finished.
Absolutely right. Then what?
Even in the Old Testament, we can see many examples, really, of warring prayers. Prayers that are spiritual warfare. For example, when Daniel prayed, there was action on the throne. God moved for him. But when the answer came down from God's throne, it met with resistance in the air. Daniel prayed continually. His prayer was definitely spiritual warfare. A person who keeps the position of ascension reigns in heaven.
Yeah, I heard some preachers saying that Daniel wasn't able to have the prayers answered because he didn't have Christ. Daniel believed 100% in Christ. I mean, he believed in Him 100%. All the prophets did, because they read the prophecies of the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. They could never be saved if they didn't believe in Christ. Nobody in the Old Testament could be saved unless they believed in Jesus. But now we're looking back at it. They were looking forward to the cross. We're looking backward at it. No one can enter the kingdom of heaven but through Christ. And so those people that are saying those things are either false prophets, the devil's talking right out of their mouth, or else they have never studied the Word of God. Daniel, the three Hebrew children saw Christ in the fiery furnace with them. Amen?
Amen.
Christ was from before the foundation of the earth. All the Jews knew about the coming of Christ. That's why they were giving these animal sacrifices. Again, because it was symbolic, a figure, a type, a symbol, or a figure of the living sacrifice that was coming from God, the Son of God, to die for the sins of the world. Then what?
He is also able to fight spiritually, and he is able to use spiritual weapons.
Read the line before that.
A person who keeps the position of ascension reigns in heaven. He is also able to fight spiritually, and he is able to use spiritual weapons. And the prayer which comes forth from him avails much, because he is a righteous man. It is also able to touch the throne of God and affect the prayer, the power of Satan, and affect all of us here. He is able to deliver us when we ask for deliverance and give us the things that we have need of when we need them. The desire of the Lord is that his saints have this sort of prayer, this fighting prayer, to work together with him and fight for him and also for the protection of ourselves.
Okay, so Christians, everyone, get up. You begin, you've heard of the fighting Irishman. That's nothing in comparison to be the fighting body of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Through prayer. Use fighting prayers, and you're going to see the entire complexion of the earth change immediately, because God is able to do it. More than able. Okay, so that was Acts chapter 24. Until tomorrow, God willing, we do Acts chapter 25 and part 18 of Spiritual Warfare. This is Pastor Tony Alamo saying, God bless you, praise the Lord, and stay before him at all times. God bless. Praise the Lord. Bye.